Heating right now, what are we looking at? 75 degrees with a high of 97. Last night, we were able to broadcast the Clovis High and Sanger game at La Monica Stadium. We're going to be talking about that. But, man, kickoff was at 7:30. And even though it was late August, that weather was pretty, pretty nice at that time, obviously. We had a nice 104 degree game last week. But this week, the weather was a little bit better. And I know the weather will be better as time goes on here in the Central Valley. Okay. What's going on today on our show? Well, pure 2 hours of high school football talk. On the show and after the break, I do a new segment called Beyond the Game where I highlight a special player, maybe it's something that I saw during the week that showed sportsmanship, something that's beyond the game, right? We talk about scores and highlights and stats and rankings and all that great stuff that makes high school sports phenomenal. But I like to give you guys a little bit something different, something beyond the game. So there's a special player that plays for Reilly High School that I'm going to talk about after the break. Malachi Rios, a special kid, and he's going through some tough times in life. So I want to highlight him and let you guys know on ways that you can help support him financially. Also be talking with Gabe Camarillo. Gabe was with us at the Sanger and Clovis game last night. He was our on-the-field reporter, did a great job on the field. We were able to do pregame and halftime and postgame last night on the broadcast. So we'll be talking with Gabe about that Sanger and Clovis game and some of the top games that were going on in the Central Valley. Well, what about that game? Well, Sanger took care of business. They beat Clovis 33-21. It was tied 14-14 at halftime. The Apaches are now 2-0 on the season. Around, I don't know, let's say 10:43 or so, Coach Matt Logue is going to come on the show. He's going to be calling in and talking about that game. I tell you what, the Apaches, they're back. They are back. Their offensive line is huge. Their running backs absolutely know what to do. They run that wing T offense. Defense was on point as well. So looking forward to talk to Coach Matt Logue about that one. At the top of hour number two, a couple really good running backs, and these running backs happen to be on the same team. Clovis North running backs McKay Madsen and Jackson Sinful, they led Clovis North last night to a hard-fought win against Redwood. It was 7-6 at halftime. Sinful is able to break free for a couple touchdowns in the second half to make it a 21-6 final. But hey, a lot of the talk was in week one, a game that we did on 1430 ESPN, when those dudes combined for 6 touchdowns, just put an incredible display in a 62-8 win over San Joaquin Memorial. So I'm super stoked to have not one, but both of those guys come in live here to First String Sports and talk about the season. They're only juniors, too. I don't know why. In my mind, I keep thinking that those guys are seniors. They play like seniors, but they're only juniors. They got the rest of this year and obviously their senior year. So a couple excellent football players in the Central section. The bottom of hour number two, Central coach Kyle Biggs is going to be joining us. You guys know about what Central's done in the last 5 or 6 years, how he's turned around that program, the 3 Central titles, Central section titles in a row, the state title. They are 2-0. A lot of question marks. Well, at least for some of us, some question marks about that team coming into this season. And they took care of business last night against Memorial, beat them 40-13. At Memorial, we know what happened last year as well, where Memorial beat Central twice. So I'm sure that was a sweet victory for the Grizzlies. So bottom of hour number two, talk to Coach Kyle Biggs. All right, this is a fun part of the show where I just go ahead and list scores. I list the scores from last night. We got a few from Thursday night. Try to do this as quickly as possible. Got a lot of things to go through and a few comments here and there. So here is pretty much the full scoreboard of high school football in the Central section from the last couple days. All right, Thursday we had a few games of note. Frontier of Bakersfield shut out Ridgeview 41-10. They're a top 10 team, talking about Frontier in the Central section. Liberty of Bakersfield, the number one team in the Central section, beat Ridgeview 49-14. Those guys just know how to win football games. Sierra Pacific beat Hoover 40-0. Stockdale and Kennedy, this game was actually last night. It was supposed to be on Thursday, but they played last night. Stockdale beat Kennedy 31-22. We were really high on Kennedy this week, especially after that huge win against Edison, but they fall in Bakersfield to Stockdale. Tehachapi beat Highland 29-7. Tulare Union, They're back scoring points again, guys. It'd be El Diamante, 49-3. All right, about last night. Bullard beat Tulare Western on the road, 28-27. So congrats to the Knights, Coach Don Arax. They have three really tough games after this, but got that much-needed win in Tulare. Central Fresno, as we mentioned, beat San Joaquin Memorial 14-13. Either way, beat them by a lot. Central Valley Christian beat Edison of Fresno at home 41-12. 41-12, man. Those Cavaliers are absolutely rolling. That's over 100 points in two games total. Chowchilla shut out Fresno High, 38-0. Clovis East beat Aurora Grande, 35-7. It was 35-7 at halftime. We followed that game on Twitter, and we're like, hey, Clovis East, they're probably going to put up 50 points again. They scored over 60 last week. But, yeah, sputtered in the second half, but still come away with the win 35-7. Clovis North, the game that we're going to be talking about, beat Redwood 21-6. Dinuba beat Golden West to move to 1-1, 22-15. Congrats to Coach C.J. Lester. Exeter beat Woodlake 35-17. Firebaugh beat Fowler. Congrats to the Eagles, 20-14 in that one. And Kingsburg, Sunnyside came into Kingsburg and gave them a tough game, lower scoring than we had anticipated. That ended up being a Vikings victory, 20-15. It was tight. Obviously, it ended up being a 5-point game, but the Kingsburg defense played really well in that one. Lemoore, I'll be talking with Gabe about Lemoore. They're good again. They graduated a lot of guys last year, but they're definitely back, 46-0 over Washington Union. Liberty of Madera beat Sanger West, 34-7. Lindsay beat California City, 54-0. Madera, they are now 2-0. They beat Selma, 49-24. McLean beat Mendota, 27-3. Congrats to Andrew Pancotti on that win. Matt Whitney beat Morro Bay, 28-16. Rossi beat Avenel, 28-13. Scrolling down here. Oh, Rigetti came back to beat Garza 38-36. Garza was leading that game. They got a late field goal to win that one. Talking about Rigetti. The Sanger Clovis score, as we mentioned, 33-21. Shafter, they got a squad again. Made it all the way to the state championship, a central section championship as well. Beat Arvin 56-6. St. Joseph shut out Bakersfield Christian 14-0. Strathmore beat Hanford West 42-0, and Matilda Torres beat Kerman 42-12 in intersectional games. Clovis West, nice comeback win, beat Turlock 56-16. I say comeback because of the loss last week to St. Mary's. They put up a lot of points. Those athletes took over in that one. Landon Wright had three touchdowns in that one. Dos Palos beat Somerville 34-27. Escalon upset Buchanan. Is it an upset? Not quite sure. They had a tough game up there or in Escalon last year. But Escalon comes back and kicks a field goal in the waning seconds to beat Buchanan at home 23-21. One more game of note. Mission Prep beat Bishop Diego 14-6. So that's a little recap of the games from the last couple days. We're going to be talking about some of those games more in depth as the show goes on. But after the break, we'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo about these games, especially the Clovis and Sanger game, and then my Beyond the Game segment about a special player from Reilly High coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report. You found us on 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters. Was able to run through some scores, lickety split. At the beginning of the segment, we'll be talking about all the great high school football games up and down the central section from last night, a little bit on Thursday. There's a few high school games that are going on today. I know Hanford plays at home. Lots of really good games. It's only week two. We got a lot of football left in this season. Want to talk about a special high school kid from Reilly High named Malachi Rios. He's been on the news. He's been on social media. Unfortunately, this young man who plays football for Reilly High has been in the program for a long time. He had cancer, and he was in remission. and he got the go-ahead to play football this year. Last December, he was cleared to play in the spring, and unfortunately, some tumors have come back. They found some in his lung. He's going to get a port inserted on Monday, and he's going to start chemotherapy. He did play in the opening game against Fireball, and this kid scored 2 touchdowns. And you know, Coach Tony Gates is very close to him, very close to the family, and he's done an incredible job walking alongside this young man. And there was a special moment that I read about in the Fresno Bee after that game against Fireball when he knew it was going to be his last game. The team, you know, rallied around him. They surrounded him and they encouraged him and they prayed for him. And, yeah, it was a pretty emotional moment. So if you guys could think about Malachi Rios in the Reedley area and send thoughts and prayers to that young man and the family and the community down there, there's a GoFundMe account that is set up for him. And when I looked at the GoFundMe account, and it just, it melted my heart because they had a $30,000 goal, and they have surpassed that goal already. I checked it last night. It was at $30,920. Woke up this morning, checked it again. It's up to $31,580. Ugh. When community gets together and rises up and supports one of their own, it's a beautiful thing, especially in these tough situations. So you could go to GoFundMe, just search for Malachi Rios. It will pop up, and you can donate there. So beyond the game, football is just a small part of life, and you know, in the face of tragedy and different moments that are very difficult, we love when our communities surround our own. So we're praying for him, Malachi. All right, Gabe Camarillo. You and I were checking out that Sanger and Clovis game, right? We did a pregame. You were there on the sidelines. We did a postgame halftime show. Our angle was a little bit different than your angle. You were able to be on the field and, you know, watch the sidelines and listen to the coaches and all that great stuff that can happen down on their field. All right, what? You know, I thought the offensive line played phenomenal for Sanger. You charted some of their drives. What impressed you the most about that game?
The athletes for Sanger, you know, Carlos Young with the 2 interceptions that pretty much won them the game, if you think about it, because the 95-yard pick six took away a Clovis touchdown, and that gave Sanger a touchdown. And then Carlos Young had the interception. I believe it was when Sanger was up 21-14, Clovis was already in the red zone. So if Deegan Rose completes that pass, or if he, you know, if he lives to fight another down and he scored the next play, Clovis has tied that game at 21, but instead Carlos Young intercepts it, and Sanger goes to the other side of the field and scores on Izzy Robles' touchdown. So I would say the athletes for Sanger, because I think that makes the difference every year that Sanger is a Central Section title contender. They always have the size. They always have the physical running game. But when they have the athletes like Jalen Cropper and Aaron Mosby in 2016 when they went to the state championship, that is the separator between a good Apaches team and a great Apaches team.
Something interesting happened in the fourth quarter, and we're broadcasting the game, and all of a sudden number 22 is getting the ball. He's getting the ball. He's churning. He's scoring touchdowns. And we're like, how come 22 didn't get the ball earlier in the game? But that's, you know, we'll talk to Coach Matt Logue more about that and the strategy behind that. But you heard something interesting on the sidelines that made us laugh when you came up in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, there was an older photographer, and he was like, these guys don't know that Izzy Robles is our best running back, and he hasn't played all game now. He sat out last week because of a transfer rule, and he was still getting his legs under him the game today, yesterday. So that's why he didn't play the first 3 quarters. He was still getting conditioned. But the fourth quarter, when he was ready and his number was called, he took advantage of the opportunity. He had, you know, these 4, 5, 6 yard carries consistently that I think made the difference, because at that point, you know, when Carlos Young gets his second interception, you're still only leading by a touchdown, and that's not enough against a Deegan Rose-led offense. So they needed to score again, and that was done on the legs of Izzy Robles. They gave him the football 8 plays on that touchdown drive, and then they gave it to him again after they recovered the onside kick. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of praise to go around. There's different reasons why they won. You could point to the interceptions. You can point to the legs of Izzy Robles. You can point to some of the coaching decisions by Matt Logue to go for it on fourth down when maybe other coaches would have settled for a field goal. All those things I feel played a role in Sanger beating Clovis last night. And I read in the paper it was the first time since 2007 that they beat Clovis High School.
Yep, good fun fact. I was going to bring that up, but good job. Yeah, 2007, last time, you know, Clovis has owned Sanger for a while. I think you're right, Gabe. That the interception by Young, I think it was a 95-yard interception return, caught it on got on the Senger sideline and took it to the house. I want to ask you, too, about Senger's size. I think that impressed me, right? Watching them in warm-ups as well, and even after at the postgame show, I'm like, Senger looks like a D1 team now again. All right, you know, rankings and you know, playoff placements, that stuff we love to talk about. But from the eyeball test, you've seen a lot of, you know, really good teams up close as well. How do you think Senger's size compares to the D1 teams that we've seen in the past?
They're definitely bigger than most of the D1 teams this season. Now, in the past, Memorial was the biggest D1 team last year, and we saw that put them in the Division I championship because they were able to outmuscle Clovis West and outmuscle a Central. I'm interested to see how Senger can do that against their next opponent, Clovis East, because Clovis East has size too, with the Razzo brothers now playing for them. And I think if we're going to talk about Senger being a Division I caliber team, I would say let's see how they do against Clovis East, because they did beat a Division I team in Clovis. I think Clovis East is better than Clovis, just based off of the talent that Clovis East has. You know, them having a lot of transfers and guys that were number ones on other teams now on the same team. I hate to call it an all-star team, but when you got Memorial's best receiver, Bullard's best receiver, Roosevelt's best receiver, and you're finding creative ways to use them. Like, we were watching the ABC 30 Sportscast last night, and Daniel Booker's being used as a running back. I've seen Tommy Nix run the football. Like, I like how Colby Hunter, the OC for Clovis East, is using these guys. It's a very creative offense, and if it's one that Senger can stop and defeat next Thursday, then I have no problem saying Sanger's a Division I team. But I think even the Senger fans probably question, are we Division I ready? Because according to Cal Preps this morning, they're in Division I. Now, maybe that changes when they face Clovis East next week.
Talking with Gabe Camarillo. You can listen to him 3 to 5, Monday through through Thursday, Home Field Advantage. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Gabe Camarillo _. All right, Gabe, before the season started, we looked at non-league schedules for these teams, the first five games before league hits for a lot of schools. And a lot, you know, we came up that Senger has one of the toughest non-league schedules in the Central Section. So, you know, they start off with that big win against Inuba, 41-7, talking about their win against Clovis, and then the Clovis East game that you mentioned. Then they got Lemoore and Centennial as well. So I'm going to be talking with Coach Matt Logue more about that. After the break, we hear from the man himself about a lot of those details about the game. But, yeah, just you know, Senger just impressed, and we were able to broadcast the game with Coach Hill as well. And, you know, nobody knows offensive linemen better than Coach Hill. Yep. He had a lot of praise for the Senger Apaches. All right, Clovis West. We wondered how they were going to respond after that loss at St. Mary's. Two road games. We had them highly ranked this season, and you and I both had them ranked as the second-best team in the Central Section. I had to drop them after the St. Mary's loss a little bit. Turlock, didn't know a whole lot about them. You know, some of our Central Section teams have played them. They've played them pretty tough, but we usually beat them. And, you know, they turned up, I think it was a fairly tight game at first, into a big blowout. Their offense took over. So, Landon Wright had three touchdowns. A lot of their superstars had one or two each. So, good comeback for Clovis West, right?
Talking to local coaches, they say Turlock does some wacky stuff, like play man-to-man and not change the entire game. So it doesn't surprise me that Clovis West scored 56 points. It looked like Turlock maybe had a good game plan going in, because they were leading at one point, I think, like 10-9 or 10-8 or something like that. And they did keep Clovis West to 20 points at halftime, which for most teams is a good thing, because Clovis West is capable of scoring more than that. And they showed that in the second half, scoring five touchdowns after halftime. Turlock did not make any in-game adjustments. And I think Central has them next at home, so who knows what Central is going to do to Turlock. I think this was the best thing that Clovis West could have happened to them. You know, having them win a very dominant offensive explosion kind of game. Them having, you know, a couple touchdowns for both of their quarterbacks. Who knows how that situation turns out next week. But I think if you're a Clovis West fan, you're feeling very happy this morning, because you wanted to see this team respond after losing a tough one that was honestly winnable for Clovis West. You know, that it did get away from them in the second half, but there were plays to be had that weren't made, and they made those plays yesterday against Turlock. A team that they should have blown out, they did blow out.
Well, and I think we're going to get hopefully a few answers next week when they play Lemoore at home. Rotating quarterbacks. It happened last year in the program with Markarian and Tyler Patrick, Ryan Markarian, and looks like caught us a little bit by surprise in that first game when they rotated quarterbacks, senior Tyler Patrick and sophomore Tyler Franklin. They did it again last night. Each threw two touchdowns. So I don't know, Gabe, what's your prediction? You think it's going to be solidified by maybe the Bullard game? You think it's going to continue to rotate quarterbacks? How do you assess the situation?
I think they'll make a vote on it this week. And maybe in front of a home crowd, their home opener against Lamore, we'll see one quarterback. This reminds me of what they did last year with Markarian and Patrick. They rotated the quarterbacks, and then they made a decision on Markarian. I said this on the show on Thursday. They picked the senior last year, so I assume they're picking the senior again this year. I would be very, very, very surprised if they don't pick the senior this year.
Tyler Patrick, who's his father is the baseball coach, and he's a 4-year varsity starter in baseball, 3-year football guy. It's his senior year, so we'll just keep tabs.
It looks like they both had 2 touchdown passes. So, yeah. But then again, it's Turlock though. Like Turlock does man-to-man the entire game and thinks that's going to work against Landon Wright and Marshall Sanders. And Turlock's going to do the same thing next week against Central. And Braylon Hall and Noe Felix are going to burn them. So, this is a big win. But like I said, it's a team that's supposed to blow out. You're supposed to beat Turlock by 40 points. And they did. So that's good for Clovis
West. And Modesto Bee did an article on it. And they call Clovis West explosive, which they are. They're touchdowns of like 80, 61, 51. Yeah. Punt return, fumble change, so they do it all. So they are definitely an explosive offense.
If they're all on the same page, if they're all, rowing in the same direction, they're not rowing against each other, this is the best team in the track just because of the talent. I mean, look at Clovis North. We thought Clovis North was the best team in the track. I don't think Clovis West only wins 21-6 against Redwood.
Redwood's tough. Redwood is tough.
Redwood lost 35-13 to Centennial.
Well,
they gave up 35 points to Centennial and gave up only 21 to Clovis North.
Yeah, that's a good point. So maybe Centennial's a little bit better than we thought as well. I mean, we know they got a good quarterback receiver.
I think Clovis West can take the top off of Clovis North, but we'll find out in a couple months. I think
we will. Well, okay. So what about Buchanan, right? And losing to Escalon. Saw people on Twitter. I even got a text message. Where the heck is Escalon? So they played him last year. Came down here.
Funny enough,
this
Escalon,
year.
California. But I don't know where Escalon, California is at either. So
well, that's what the Google Maps are for. So they're a Division IV AA power. They won state last year. Actually won 2 state championships in the last 3 years. So a little bit of history there. But they came back and beat Buchanan. Gabe, you and I, we're still not sure, right? What type of team Buchanan. We haven't seen them with our own eyes yet. So they had to return. They returned a great offensive line, skill position players. But what does that say about Buchanan?
I did see their scrimmage, but I left that thinking, okay, they need some explosive playmakers. And they beat St. Pius of St. Matthias last week, which was good. But this was an Escalon team coming off a state championship. I think a step above St. Pius, St. Matthias, and it was a low-scoring game. You only scored 21 points. I'm interested to see how they do in their next stretch of games. I think Memorial's there, so that's a common opponent with track foes Central and Clovis North. You got Liberty, who Central will face also in a couple weeks. And then who's the other Buchanan opponent? Is it – trying to remember what last year's was.
SJM.
Well, SJM and –
So Rockland, Liberty.
Rockland, okay.
Yeah, Rockland next week, Liberty at home. And then San Joaquin Memorial on Thursday, it looks like, at home.
Yeah, so I think they can go possibly – 3-2 going into track play, assuming that they beat Rockland. But we want to see how they do against Memorial. We have comparative scores now. North beat Memorial 62-8. Central beat Memorial 40-13. But, Coach Biggs was quick to tell me that was a game, and he'll probably tell you this too, that was a game where Memorial was keeping the football away for most of the time. So I feel like compare how Buchanan does against Memorial to the other track teams, and then we'll find out where Buchanan is in the track.
I do know this, Gabe. We talked about this a lot, but man, the wacky tracky when the league starts up,
it's
gonna be a battle.
Where would you put Clovis at? Is Clovis the 5th best team now because they lost to Sanger, or does Sanger beat Clovis East next week?
It could be. And so, actually, Clovis has a fairly favorable schedule the next 3 games. They play Whitney away, which is a pretty long drive, pretty long day. Salinas at home on another Thursday game. We love our Thursday games. We're able to watch those, and then Bullard away. So let's take away a little bit, Gabe. We got a couple minutes here talking with Gabe Camarillo. CMAC, right? Did they get? did our opinion of the C-Mac improve or regress after last night? Talk about Bullard's win, San Joaquin Memorial, we mentioned lost. Edison got blown out again by CVC. Sanger is definitely tops right now, in my opinion. Garza lost that tough one to Rigetti. Madera won, beat Selma. But what thoughts on C-Mac? Improved or not improved after last week?
Well, we saw Sanger's run game last night. Do you think there's a team in the C-Mac that can stop that run in that league? Do you think there's someone that you've heard of? Like, Edison gave up 41 points to CVC and 64 to Kennedy, so I don't think I can have them on that list. Memorial, we saw what happened against Clovis North. I think I don't want to compare Clovis North and Sanger, but there's a lot of similar qualities that they have. They both run the football extremely well, and I would say Sanger's offensive line. I mean, compare Sanger's offensive line to Clovis North.
Yeah, fairly favorable.
I would say Clovis North's
offensive line a little bit better, but hey,
a Sanger little bit better. It's not that different. So the difference between 62 points and 42 points, I don't know if that's a big difference. I don't think Memorial has it in them this year. Bullard, you know, they beat Tulare Western by a point, needing to come back in that game. Garza lost to Rigetti. I don't know where they're going to be at come track C-Mac play. And then there's Madera. So I think Singer is the far and away favorite to win that conference. And I don't want to say print the C-Mac champion T-shirts right now, but if you're Singer, you're feeling very confident that you're a likely candidate to go 5-0 in league play. So that makes these next three games very important if you're the Apaches, because this could determine whether you're a high seed in Division II or a low seed in Division I. Because you can probably, you don't want to guarantee 5 wins, but you're feeling very good about getting 5 wins in October. If you beat Clovis East and you lose to Lemoore and Centennial, you're a Division I team. You're 8-2 with wins over two track teams. If you lose the next three games and you're 7-3 going into playoffs, maybe you're a high Division II squad. And this is what I don't like about the way that we do playoffs. And I always bring it up every week, but the way that we do playoffs makes no sense. Why should Sanger want to lose to Clovis East? That's their rival. They hate Clovis East. But if they beat Clovis East, they're at worst going to be 8-2 with 2 wins over two track teams, and I do not see how that doesn't make them Division I.
It can be tricky, tricky stuff for sure. All right, Gabe, good job by you as always. Always enjoy having you on the show and chopping it up. Listen to him Monday through Thursday. I know you do, 3 to 5. I do. Heck, I'm driving home from work. I'm listening to Gabe Camarillo whenever I can. Gabe, thanks for coming on.
All right, sounds good. You're going to talk to a Sanger coach next, aren't you?
I am talking with Coach Matt Logue coming up after the break on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. 1430 ESPN. This is your host, Paul Metters. The show's called the Central Valley Sports Report. Just chopped it up with Gabe Camarillo about games up and down the Central section. And we talked about Sanger's big win, 33-21 against Clovis at La Monica Stadium. And we talked, we broke down the game the best we can, but nothing like hearing from the head coach. So we have Sanger head coach Matt Logue. The Apaches are now 2-0 this season. Coach, it's always good to wake up in the morning on Saturday morning with a hard-fought win like you had against Clovis, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure. It's always it's a lot easier on a Saturday morning, usually after a late night when you get a win. You know, it's always easier to be a little tired on Saturday when you get a win. So definitely agree with you there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to start with the half. It was tied 14-14. I thought you guys really imposed your will in the second half. What did you guys talk about as a staff? I'm sure you guys were really happy with the momentum going to the second half. But what did you guys talk about at halftime?
Just that, you know, there were a few things. You know, one of the big ones is I just thought there were a few things that we were doing to hurt ourselves. Obviously, false starts and doing things. And we were able to overcome some of those things. But, you know, that makes drives a lot harder, putting you behind the sticks and getting in third and longs and things like that. You know, that we're not really a team that
– I think I lost coach there.
That's a situation we want to be in.
All right, Jorge, back at studio. We'll take a break here, and then we'll try to fix these things.
I don't know if you can hear me. I've been outside. Sometimes at my house, it's a struggle with
service. Hello, coach, are you there?
You still can't hear me? Hello? Hello, hello.
Hello, coach. You got me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. I don't know if
All
you
right.
can hear me.
Perfect. I got a little bit of echo in my ears, so I'll just have to concentrate threefold on this. I don't know if everybody was able to hear about, what the adjustments that you guys made, but I want to talk about the keys to the game. Was there a key play in that game?
I think there were a few key plays. The fourth and five was huge. There were some third and longs that were huge. Our kids, when we were talking earlier and kind of got cut off and you asked about halftime, I one of the things we talked about was just we were doing things to put ourselves kind of in situations where we were in long, behind the sticks on first down. And then so we're in some third and longs and things that usually – is not great for offense. Obviously, this year we have some athletes that are able to make up for some of those things, but it's just not where you want to be. But we were able to overcome a lot of that stuff last night. There were a lot of them. A couple of interceptions where Clovis was in our territory a couple times, and Carlos Young made some big plays for us. It's hard to pick like one play, but there were just a lot of plays in key moments that our guys, rose to the occasion and made plays when we had to have them, for that game to end up the way it did.
And I thought there was one huge key play in that first half where you guys lined up for a field goal. I believe it was at your 5-yard line. Clovis went offsides, moved it up a little bit, and you guys decided to go for it. Talk about that play call.
Yeah, I've always been a guy, back in my days in Selma, I'm sure I got plenty of, ridicule or whatever you want to say for it in our state game against Bayshore Christian. We were tied and we were down one and went for two from 2 yards away or 3 yards away, whatever the PAT is, to try to win the game, with all the momentum in the world. And we have an O-line that's pretty good. I called timeout after they jumped off sides and I said, hey, can you guys get us in there? And they all were like, yeah, coach, we'll do it. So, just trusting your guys, and they're the ones who made it happen. Bolkin did a great job. Obviously the O-line did a great job blocking, and Bolkin did a good job finding a hole, kind of cutting back against the grain because Clovis was, they were prepared for the play we ran. And I think they over-pursued a little bit, and there was a little cutback lane to the left. And, but it just, you want to win big games like that. I feel like, we were willing to settle for the field goal, obviously, but when they jumped off sides, I'm like, 2.5 yards, I think we can get 2.5 yards anytime we want. That's the type of team we are. That's kind of our mindset. And, so if that's how we feel and believe, then that's what we got to do.
And you got a couple skill guys up, a couple big guys made – really good plays, thinking about Bryson Baker, Marquise Cropper, some of those catches over the middle where they, on a couple defenders. But talk about that fourth quarter. All of a sudden, Izzy Robles comes in the game. Where'd this guy come from, number 22, or broadcasting the game?
Well, he came from Oklahoma is where he came from. he's a great kid. He's, he has a cousin on the team, our center, Jordan Guzman, who he moved over here to try to play his senior year with some of his family. I don't know the whole story from way back when, but there's pictures of all them, him, Guzman, Baker, when they were young, him and Sanger. And then for whatever reason, I don't know the whole story. Like I said, they moved out to Oklahoma, but he wanted to come back and play his senior year here in Sanger. He was ineligible as of last week with all the transfer stuff, which I don't get because other guys, he moved from a different state to live with a family member and supposedly, wasn't eligible last week. But, we all know how other guys go from school to school here in town, and that's fine. But, he's a stud kid. It's been kind of a slow road for him. He came and, he's trying to learn on the fly. Obviously, most of the guys we have a lot of guys coming back now for 2 years, kind of playing our system, and Izzy's just kind of been trying to find his way. We knew he's talented as a runner. We just being able to trust the guy 100% to make sure he knows all the plays and where to go on everything. And last night he got a chance, and he obviously showed what he could do. late in the game. A couple guys were tired. And, I mean, again, we knew he had that in him. It's just, you know, that trust factor as a coach, just knowing that on every play he knows exactly what to do. Also, he hurt his ankle a couple weeks ago and has been a little kind of gimpy on his foot. But he got a shot last night. And trust me, he's everyone saw the way he was running the ball last night. He's a guy that's going to be a big part of our offense going forward.
No, he's an absolute dude. Coach, we got time for one more question here. So what last year you guys lost to Clovis and then the Clovis East. They had that tough three-game stretch, but seems like the program is turned around 180 degrees. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I mean, it was a four-game stretch.
Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ES.
Yeah, I went there.
Okay, sorry.
We're good.
I mean, I've said, and you know, everyone goes through their growing pains. Last year, we were a young team. We have a lot of guys back that were our juniors even this year that have a lot of game experience. A year in the program, a whole new offense, new defense. I mean, not new defense, but, you know, different things. And, I just think it's, you know, we got a bunch of kids who have been here now and know what's expected of them and know the, you know, what they're doing. And, you know, like you said earlier, we got some dudes also. We got some good athletes. We got some good, big physical linemen. So, the potential is there for us to be a very good football team. Obviously, potential's potential. So until you continue to prove it, that don't mean nothing, but, I obviously like the team we have. We hopefully have to stay healthy. We don't have a ton of depth. A lot of our guys go both ways. So if we lose a guy here or there, it's going to be a two-way guy most likely. And, but they're bought in, they're doing things the right way. And you could see it as the season went on last year, kind of in our playoff run. We won one playoff game and then lost to the number one seed, which was CBC. But we were playing good football at the end of the year. And early on, we weren't. We were just undisciplined. We were doing things that, just good football teams don't do. And then as the year went on, we got better. And, I think it's kind of carried over into this year.
Oh, it absolutely shows, Coach. We were impressed with your squad last night. Hey, thanks for sticking with us through some of these technical difficulties. We'll be sure to catch up later in the year, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was probably on my end, my house, like I said, didn't have very good service. So.
It's all good, Coach. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
All right, coming up after the break, we got McKay Madsen and Jackson Sinfield, the dynamic duo at Clovis North, coming up on 1430 ESPN.
Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. ESPN. I've been your host, Paul Metters. This is year number three of the Central Valley Sports Report. And this is the third year that we've broadcasted games on 1430 ESPN. Just had a conversation with Sanger coach Matt Logue after their 33-21 win over Clovis at La Monica Stadium. They looked really, really strong. I want to mention, too, that if you guys miss any part of the show, or Home Field Advantage, or the Jose Gonzalez Show, or the Bulldog Hour with Tony D, you can go to the 1430 ESPN Fresno website, go to podcast, and you can find all of our back episodes. Listen to all the great interviews that we have here on 1430 ESPN. Speaking of great games, all right, we were able to broadcast the San Joaquin Memorial and Clovis North game to open up the season. And we were super, super impressed with a couple of running backs who did it again last night. They won a hard-fought game against Redwood. Talking about Clovis North's McKay Madsen and Jackson Sinfield, both juniors. In that San Joaquin Memorial game, they ran for the team ran for a school record 459 yards. These guys combined for 6 touchdowns, 3-3 each. So sharing is carrying that one between these two guys. So, first of all, thanks, guys, for coming in to First String Sports. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. So let's start with last night. It's the game that's most fresh. Redwood, they've always had strong teams, like a really good coaching staff. I mean, it's a great place to play football as well. It's a great venue. You had a tough one though. It was 7-6 at halftime. You guys had to grind it out. Talk about your mindset. We'll start with you, McKay, in a game like that where it's tight. It's a game that you should win on paper, but again, it's on the road. So, like, what was the mentality during the game?
During the game, we knew they were going to be physical, so you got to retaliate that, and you got to be more physical if you want to find success. Just the mindset is you got to go next play. I had a couple bad plays. You know, everybody has a couple bad plays, but you just have to move on. Goldfish mindset. You just forget about it and move on. So you just got to keep doing your job. Every play is a new opportunity to go out there and play football. You can't take it for granted. So that's what we did. We kept grinding and grinding, and then finished the half with a touchdown. Coming in the second half, we get the ball, and then that's when we got our confidence up and we started rolling.
So it was 3-0, right, for a while. Redwood took the lead, and then you guys scored a touchdown to make it 7-6 at halftime. And, you know, the explosiveness of Jackson Sinville came out. He scored on a 60-yarder, Jackson, to probably gave you – talk about that nervousness. It probably gave you a little bit more of an exhale, like, okay, we've been kind of waiting for that. So, Jackson, I want to describe, first of all, the play call and what you saw on that play and then your reaction when you scored.
Okay, so the play call was like a 15 counter kill, 19 Oz. Our quarterback, Mario Cosma, killed it, so we go in 19 Oz. And I got the ball, I saw the hole, and then I saw Levi Spriggs block for me. So I just cut in, cut out. It was a foot race to the touchdown.
And you were gone.
I was gone.
did you end up in the corner of the end zone, or you were kind of in the middle?
I was in the corner, but that was just because I was sprinting as fast as I could down the sideline.
So, you know, you mentioned how, you know, a little bit nervous in that game and maybe a little bit overconfident, right? I mean, you think that was, you know, after that San Joaquin Memorial, that huge win in week one, 62-8, like, was it a case of you guys can't wait to get back on the field? I mean, what was your mentality going into the game against Redwood?
We needed to prepare. Obviously, we had come off a good win, no injuries. So we were just going to keep doing our thing, keep practicing the same way we had been practicing. But obviously game prepping for Redwood, knowing what they were going to do. I don't know. We kind of just – we were prepared physically going into that game. We know what we were going to do. And so we executed that, but started off slow. But then found our rhythm, changed some things at halftime, which set us up for success.
And then Jackson, what did Coach – what was the message that Coach Jaycock gave after the game, right? Let's just say, all right, so the week before against Memorial, we did the game. It was on TV, right? You guys were pretty hyped. And I'm sure the message was a little bit different from Coach Jaycock and the coaching staff after this one.
After this one, they just wanted us to take the win as a win, even though it wasn't the expected outcome that we expected. But they just want us to focus on next week and the week after that.
I want to talk about also coming into this season. You know, you guys are both juniors. You know, you guys had that great run last year. You guys started off a little slow, and then I thought you guys were playing your best football towards the end of the year. I was at that game against Centennial where you guys just, I think it was 40-7. You guys looked really, really strong. Ran a really good Buchanan team, right, in the playoffs last year. But the momentum that you guys had coming into this year with the offensive line coming back, with your quarterback coming back, and obviously you two, like, what fueled you guys in the off season, right? Like, did you guys enjoy having higher expectations? Or were you like, oh, you know, people kind of know we're going to have a good year. Like, what fueled you guys during the off season?
The loss against Buchanan, of course. That run at the end of the last season, we were on a roll, and we felt pretty good about that. But then to get stopped short by Buchanan is kind of angry. I've been in that offseason. We're just training and training and training, looking forward to the next season, just doing whatever we can in the weight room. Obviously, Jaycock knows his stuff. He's built us up pretty well. You could tell, like, we are the bigger team when we walk out on the field.
Yeah.
So credit to him for that. We're looking forward to this good season, and we knew, like, we were returning a lot of guys. Our senior class is very strong. So that was very positive, and we knew that we could have a successful season if we worked for it.
Well, and you showed it, you know, in game one. Jackson, I want to talk about, you know, being the favorite or being the underdog, right? Like, you guys can't sneak up on anybody anymore, right? There's a lot of talk about how strong your team is this year. What do you enjoy more? Do you enjoy being the hunter or enjoy being the hunted?
I enjoy being the hunter because I like when there's expectations, so I can show out to those expectations. I'd like to speak for our whole team when we want to everyone to know that we are the best and when we want to show that we can be the best.
That's awesome. All right, I want to talk about the competitive nature between you two guys. So we talked a little bit off air. You guys went to different elementary schools, but then Granite Ridge, you guys got to know each other a little bit more. Now you're classmates and teammates. Three touchdowns each against San Joaquin Memorial, though. Who was celebrating more for each other? McKay, were you celebrating more for Jackson, or for McKay, or was it just like even? You're just equally hyped for your guy.
I think it's pretty even. knowing we got what we wanted. We got a lot of touches and a lot of glory that should be for the linemen. We just run the ball. They do all the work up front, but obviously the fans don't really recognize that. They just hear the name that's called when the touchdown is scored. But if it weren't for them, we would not be here right now. I think it should be all five of them sitting here right now being interviewed. But I think each of us, we're definitely happy for each other. A win is a win. If it benefits the team, it benefits. If it benefits us, it benefits the team. So any positive energy, any positive yards, touchdown is great.
Spoken like a true running back. I love it. Giving your props to your O-line. And, again, your O-line is absolutely phenomenal. We're very, very impressed by it. Jackson, I want to ask about, like, you. Is it safe to say that you are, like, the lightning and maybe McKay's more the thunder? He likes to lower. I don't know. I mean, both you guys are, you know, you got speed. You got, you know, you guys are very well put together physically. You feel like you got a little more burst than the average running back?
I would say Andrew Chavez is the lightning, and me and McKay are both like the power backs that come with speed. But Andrew Chavez is definitely the guy that you want to see in the open field because he's insanely fast, just like Vinny Cordoba.
He scored the final touchdown, right? Talking about the third part of the running back. I know I brought you two guys in for this interview, but it's kind of a three-headed monster, isn't it?
It is.
What's practice like with sharing reps and all that? I mean, what's practice look like?
We just get pretty even reps.
Okay.
There's some plays where a coach will have one of us backs go in. It kind of just all depends. We can all do most of the part what all the other backs can do. It's just Chavez is probably way better in open field than us. He's so hard to tackle. But in the hole, me and Jackson, he just barrels his head. He's like a bowling ball, but can run like lightning. So we're all pretty lethal, I'd say.
Talking with McKay Mattson and Jackson Sinfell of Clovis North. All right, let's go back to your offensive line. So we were really impressed with the holes that they created for you in that Memorial game. I'll have to watch, you know, the footage against Redwood. But, hey, you guys are just doing your job, right? I mean, the offensive line sets the tone. You guys are just you're predicated on what those guys are doing, right?
Right.
Yeah, Jackson, so, you know, who are some of the offensive line that you want to give some props to? Who are your dudes up front?
We got the center, James Gazares, and then we got guard Aiden Gum and Gus. And then we have tackle David Boyajian and another tackle Preston Fletcher, and they all are just super physical. They get super hyped, and they just create the best blocks ever.
McKay, I mean, what can you say about how great your offensive line is?
They're all returners from last year.
Yeah.
a couple of them were first-year varsity players last year, Preston Fletcher and David Boyajian. But just returning this year, they've gotten so much more experience, and they were confident in themselves this year. Last year, they were kind of lacking confidence, and that would cost us a little bit. But this year, they were just ready. They were confident in themselves. They hit the weight room hard, too. They're so strong. Strongest line, I'd say, in the Valley. And they just know their stuff, and they execute really well.
One of the things that impressed us watching the Memorial game is it felt like a Week 5 or Week 6 game. game as far – there are a few penalties here and there, but as far as knowing their assignments and getting to that line and in their stance and blowing off the ball, I mean, it felt like they were way more advanced than week one. Let's just put it that way. I want to ask you guys about the COVID season. So we mentioned how that COVID season where Clovis North was able to only play three games. They scored one touchdown. The final game was a 69-0 loss at Central. You guys were in eighth grade during that year, right? Or it wasn't your freshman, eighth grade.
Yeah.
Like, were you guys just kind of watching that from afar, or did you guys really know what was going on? Did you understand the scope of it? I mean, what kind of got you guys through that? So, you know, talk about that moment to now one of the top teams in the Central section. I mean, what was that like for you? I mean, during COVID, were you guys watching the games like, oh, my gosh, are we going to be this bad for – I mean – like, what were you guys thinking during those times?
I didn't go to any games, but I would hear the scores, and it kind of hurt knowing that our program was not finding the success, especially the second year after Coach Jacob came in. All right, it wasn't a good look.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys chosen not to play that year for obvious reasons. But coming back every year since then, or every year since Coach Jake Ice came in, we've won one more game each season. So it's just been more positive every year. And knowing, like, our class and the senior class, like, the optimism of them coming up was very positive. And so we weren't too worried that the program would stay at that rate. We knew we were going to shoot up eventually.
I think that says a lot about your class and then the senior class coming through that to the point where you guys are today. All right, let's talk about some fun stuff. We'll start with you, Jackson. All right. What are your favorite type of runs? Like a 15-yard run where you're carrying dudes, or maybe you're stiff-arming a guy, you're spinning out. 15-yard run where you don't score, maybe you get a first down, or like that run that you had last night, a 60-yarder where, boom, you're busting out and nobody can catch you. What are your favorite types of runs?
My favorite type would probably be the 15-yarder where you, like, chuck a bunch of people and you're just running through people, because then that gets the O-line super hyped, and then that's when you get your 50-yard runs.
All right, how about for you, McKay?
Yeah, it's true. The 15-yarder sets up that big one. If you're just bullying people, they eventually get tired to tackle, and then they don't want to be in the way. So they'll vacate, the line will do their thing, and then you have that straight shot where you can open up. So the versatility is what's exciting about it.
And I saw that from you, McKay, in the first play of the second half against San Joaquin Memorial. I think you probably even surprised yourself, like, hit the hole. Nobody's around me. Okay, I'll just go ahead and keep running.
Yep, untouched. The hole was huge. The line executed perfectly, and I just opened up with the – speed training that Jacob's put us through. So.
well, give me an example of the speed training. I've seen a couple Instagram videos of Jacob and what he does. So what are some examples of the speed training?
We do, like, a lot of explosiveness. Early in, like, winter, early preseason, we did a lot of ISO holds and, like, isometric exercises, I guess. And then we'll do speed where, like, plyos and pogos. And then we'll do, like, flying 20s, flying 10s. Just a lot of explosive stuff. Not a lot of long-distance stuff, because football, you're not really running long distances. It's explosive, short yardage, a lot of power cleans. We do a lot of Olympic lifts, a lot of squats, just all around building the best football athlete you could be.
Talking to McKay Mattson and Jackson Sinfeld. All right, here we go. Who's faster?
We've been debating about this, actually.
And here you go on the radio. I ask you. All right. So who's faster? Do we have four? We have 40 times that we can go by. You guys, what are your 40 times?
We, like, haven't,
right or not?
We haven't done 40s in a really, really long time.
Kind of old school. Okay.
We did flying 10s the other day. I got a 1.04.
I don't know what I got.
I don't know. It's pretty close.
Pretty close. Okay. All right. We'll stick with pretty close. All right. Now, this is kind of an open-end question. I know, Jackson, you're a wrestler. We'll get to that in a second. And McKay, discus. But, all right, who can squat more then? Where are we at in squats?
With correct form, I think I can do a little bit more. Maybe not now, but, like, peak winter bulk season. We're pretty close, though, but pound for pound, he's way more than me.
Okay, you know what? We need to get some numbers out there. Okay, McKay, what are we listing you at? Six
6'2", 220.
Okay, so just out there for reference. Jackson, what are we at?
5'10", 180.
There you go. Okay, so got a little bit of weight difference. So maybe that who could squat more might not be fair. But pound for pound, we're saying Jackson, he's up there. Okay, wrestling, Jackson. How is wrestling similar to football?
It's super physical, like football, and like the practices, they make you like a man because the practices are super enduring and super hard. I mean, me and my brother go at it all the time, my brother Ross Sinfeld, and it shows on the football field because we are super physical, super emotional, and I feel like wrestling has guided us towards just becoming people who are always ready to hit someone. We are looking for the hit, and we are looking just to like get as much done as possible in a football practice.
How far, Jackson, did you get in wrestling this year? The Masters in state.
This year, I got out right before the round of placing. So I went like 2-2. Ross went 2-2 as well.
Okay, awesome. All right, fun question here, another one. Well, you know what? Let me ask you, McKay. So we asked Jackson about similarities between football and wrestling. How about similarities between discus and football? Talk about core muscles, legs, right? So what are some similarities?
Technique. In football, you can be as big and as strong as you want. Same with throws. But if you don't have technique, you're not going to go anywhere. You got to have technique on the field. You got to get your eyes right. You got to get your steps right, read your keys. Same with discus and shot put. You work the same thing over and over, getting that technique down to where it's just muscle memory and you can't forget it. Obviously, not every throw is going to go good. Not every play is going to go good. You're going to have bad days. You're going to have good days. But the more consistency you have at it, the more you do it, the better you'll get.
And what, you play second in the state?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Second for discus and seventh for shot put.
And seventh for shot put. Awesome. All right. McKay, how would Jackson do in the throws?
I think if he was training for a while, he'd do great. I mean, obviously, he's shredded. He's jacked. Look at him. And he's pretty coordinated, too. I think he'd do pretty good at shot put, yeah.
All right, let's flip it. How would McKay do as a wrestler? 220, come on, let's go.
I think McKay would be great as a wrestler. He can manhandle people.
Well, are we planting some seeds here? I know you're a two-sport guy. I know football and wrestling are right next to each other, so that's a little more tough. But football, track, and field, what are you doing during the winter, McKay?
Working out and recovering from football.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah. How do you recover from going straight from football, Jackson, to wrestling?
I practice wrestling year round, so it's usually just like after football practice I usually go to wrestling sometimes, so I'm just ready for it when it comes around.
Okay, we got a couple minutes here, guys. Besides the sports that we talked about, did you guys grow up playing any sports, any soccer, baseball between the two of you?
Mm-hmm. Soccer was my first sport.
Yeah,
so just being on the field running.
Jackson?
Yeah, I played some soccer, some baseball, literally just all around a bunch of sports, like golf, tennis.
NFL or college football, what do you guys like to watch?
College, 100%.
I like to watch the NFL. You know, Raiders fan.
You're a big Raiders guy?
Yeah.
Are they going to be better or worse now that Derek isn't at the helm?
Oh, worse, 100%.
Yeah, good answer. All right, we've got to give our love to our Central Valley. Yeah, all right, a lot of question marks about the Raiders. Your favorite football player, McKay?
Christian McCaffrey. All time.
Got a lot of similarities, huh?
I like, he's my, who I look up to.
All right, so really quick, Christian McCaffrey, Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad played?
Stanford.
At Stanford, right? Dad played football at Stanford, Josh. Jackson, you got a favorite dude?
Probably Marshawn Lynch.
More because of his personality or one of the crazy things that he does?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
All right. I want to add to this. This is a great story. Whenever I have a chance, I like to tell it. But, you know, Josh and McKay Christensen played together at Clovis West, McKay's dad, and you are named after McKay Christensen, correct?
I am, yeah.
What do you know? What are some stories or what did your dad told you about McKay Christensen?
Just what I've heard is that he was just untackleable. He was so quick that if you blink, you're going to miss him. You can't open field tackle him, and you can't even tackle him in the hole. He's just too quick, too shifty. And just his vision was great, too.
Yeah, if there's a few clips on YouTube with McKay running the ball. I've watched him live a few times back in the early 90s. Yeah, everything you described is absolutely perfect. Okay, one more question here, guys, before we sign off. First of all, thanks for coming on. This has been a lot of fun. Track is going to be loaded, right? We talk about it a lot. I mean, East, Clovis, West, Buchanan, and Central. I mean, there's every game they're going to come after you guys. Is there a specific game in the league that you guys look forward to the most?
Really all of them. We know that all of them are pretty good. Track's pretty even. So we have them all marked on our calendar, I guess. Coming after that bye week, it's go time. Okay. Especially West, after losing them last year. Buchanan in the playoffs. East on that last minute Hail Mary. That was very disappointing. But really all the teams are ready for.
Good answer. Jackson? Probably the same deal, right? Can't wait for all of them.
Yeah, especially East. I got a couple friends on East that I want to beat because they beat us last year.
Yeah, that was in week one last year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember seeing the highlight of that. A heartbreaker for you guys. All right, thank you guys for coming on. You guys are mature and wise beyond your years. You guys are, you know, great football players, but you're good kids as well. So really appreciate you guys coming on, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that was McKay Mattson and Jackson Sinfo of Clovis North. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking with Central High coach Kyle Biggs and their big win last night against San Joaquin Memorial on 1430 ESPN. Thanks for sticking with us. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Off to the right-hand side, when you walk into First String Sports, I do my show at the Letterman's Jacket Room. Looking at Letterman's Jackets from, hey, Sanger, what do you know? Clovis West, Fresno Christian, Kerman, Woodlake, Kalinga. Behind me, we've got Sierra and Kingsburg. This is the only place to go for your Letterman's Jacket needs. They'll hook you up right. Look at all the embroidery done for you right here. You could put Bible verses. You could put your Central Section Championship patches. Hey, if you're a band member of the band, yeah, get yourself a Letterman's jacket as well. So First String Sports, thanks to them for being our sponsor. All right, we have Coach Kyle Biggs here, Central High, back-to-back-to-back Central Section D1 champs. Got that 2019 state title, Division I state title, which is awesome. Defeated San Joaquin Memorial last night, 40-13, to move to 2-0. Thanks for coming in, man. I know Saturdays can be tough for you. You got your daughter doing softball and, you know, filming all this stuff. But thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it.
No problem. It worked out.
It worked out, absolutely. All right. I could count on Coach Biggs all the time after games. I could call him and could break down the game. I really, really appreciate that about him. I want to ask you about your, like, post-game rituals, right? Like, you got to get something to eat. What's your normal fall asleep time on game nights?
Game nights, it's late because I'm always trying to I got to get stats in. You know, I got to know what we did offensively, know where we were good, where we struggled at, what we need to focus on for the upcoming week. And, you know, even as a player, you know, the first thing I did was wake up Saturday morning and I want to know the stats. So I'm the same way still. So now that I'm the coach, you know, I get that film a little faster than I did as a player. So that's the first thing I do is I get going on stats right away so I can see what we did.
Let's talk about last night's 40-13 win, a game that you guys were up 13-0 at halftime, I believe, and Memorial got a touchdown with no time left to make it 13. Just kind of walk us through that game. What was working for you guys? Who are some dudes that stepped up? What were maybe some key plays in that game?
You know, I thought our defense did well in the first half. We lost contain a little bit. That quarterback is very very talented, very fast, athletic kid, and we let him get loose a couple times, and we kind of learned from that. And so that was good that we kind of bend, but we didn't break on defense. Offensively, you know, we only had four possessions in the first half, and one came with, you know, about 45, 50 seconds left in the half. So really we had three full possessions in the first half. And on our first two drives, we were able to do what we wanted to do and go down the field and make plays. And this year's team, we have some guys. You know, David Bell was out this week, but Brandon Smith at running back, JT Albert stepped up at tailback as a freshman, did a really good job. The O-line played really well. And then, of course, we had Noe, Braylon, and Dalen out there at receiver making plays. They all had over five catches. So we were able to spread it out. And, you know, it's kind of – you're going to have to pick your poison this year. So that's we're a little more balanced than we've been in the past. And it's a fresher breath air because now we can – it can be anybody on any given night. And that's what we're excited about.
Well, talk about – you know, you scored on six out of your eight possessions,
yeah.
Right? Was it a mix of, you know, running the ball and, you know, short yardage gains, you know, passing the ball, a couple quick hits and you know, just kind of feeling out what was working?
Yeah, you know, we were able to run the ball pretty good. We averaged 7 yards a carry. It's not like Clovis North. Those guys, I think they averaged 15 yards a carry.
Well, you saw them. I mean, you saw, right, McKay Mattson and Jack. Those guys are
huge.
Yeah,
those are some big guys, man.
6'2", 220-pound running back.
I don't think I want to tackle them at, you know, 43 years old, so I can only imagine a 15- or 16-year-old trying to tackle those big guys.
So you mentioned a couple youngsters on the offensive end. You mentioned a freshman. Talk about this freshman and then the sophomore running back you got.
You know, Brandon is a guy. He plays both ways for us, and he started cramping last night. When David Bell got hurt, we made the decision to bring up JT from the JV team as a freshman. And, you know, JT had kind of been struggling in practice a little bit. Last night was the best he ran. So he was very impressive with his cuts and his reads and getting upfield and finishing runs. He did a really good job last night. I was really impressed with what he did. Yeah. Even stepped up on some pass protections and did a really good job.
It seems like you always have a freshman or a sophomore that contributes at the varsity level. And you mentioned, hey, that your freshman came up, didn't have great practice, but in the game just something kind of clicked. Like, sometimes those dudes are just – they're just different, right? Like, there's a different mentality for those guys, and it seems like Central, you know, has them every other year.
Yeah, you know, it's – and we don't necessarily like it because we – you know,
you like the consistency more?
Yeah, we preach you play how you practice, and we want to have good practices. But, you know, as a freshman, sometimes, you know, going against varsity kids, going against those older kids, and going against your own teammates, you know, they know you, they know what we're doing, and it can get frustrating, and, you know, you're not as – it's not as fun to go against guys who know what you're doing. And so when he gets to go out there against a different team that doesn't know our plays and doesn't know what we're doing, he really showed what he was capable of doing.
And Samaki Memorial was a team that knocked you guys out of the playoffs last year and beat you early in the year. During practice, did you have to mention that to the kids? Obviously, you and your staff remember a lot about last season and those games. But did you have to remind the kids, or were they motivated themselves, or was it just like, hey, it's just another game, or what was the mentality like?
No, they knew. They knew. I know we brought it up in our Monday meeting, our game plan meeting, about how it's a revenge game. Like, we're going to take some frustrations out on last year, some disappointments out on last year, and we're going to take it out on them tonight. And that was our mindset going in. And, you know, you don't want to put a lot of pressure on the kids, but I just want the kids to come out with a sense of purpose. And they did that last night. They wanted it. They came out fiery. They came out, you know, emotional. And we play a little better when we're playing with our emotions on our sleeves and we're, you know, flying around making plays. So I wanted to get back to doing that. We didn't do that a lot last year.
How satisfying was that win for you personally?
It was good. I mean, every win's good. And it was, you know, we got better than what we played last week. So that was satisfying. And we just there were some things we watched in film today that we can get even better at. And that's the goal, is just keep getting better each week.
I think from a lot of people's perspective, there are a few question marks coming in with your squad this year at quarterback position. I know that Riley stepped up and he's your guy right now. You know, you probably saw some rankings, some preseason rankings, whatnot. You're like, okay, all right, I see how it is. Do you prefer, you know, being more of like, hey, a little bit of question marks about a team, instead of, you know, hey, we got a really good squad, we're going to be hunted every week, as opposed to now you guys are hunting teams? Or is that how you even look at it?
You know, we've been on both sides of the spectrum, you know, in this 8 years I've been there, and it's motivation. You know, it's like, hey, you know, don't keep counting us out, keep overlooking us. We're just worried about ourselves, and we're just worried about getting better and playing the best ball we can play each week.
I want to ask about the state of high school football right now. You know, you've been involved with football, you know, your whole life. You've been around the Central Valley your whole life as a player and a coach, and we're definitely going to be talking about your introduction into the Clovis Hall of Fame later. It's going to be a big moment tonight. But you know, how is the state of football right now, let's say, compared to 10 years ago? Is it for better or for worse? I mean, I'm thinking like participation numbers, what the playoff system's like, the number of quality of teams around. Like, I don't know, for lack of a better, is it better or worse than 10 years ago? Is that even, should that even be talked about?
You know, it has its ebbs and flows where, you know, some years, you know, talent-wise, that a lot of teams are good, and some years, you know, there's only a few teams that are good or have a lot of talent loaded. But participation, you're hitting it on the head. A lot of teams don't have freshman teams anymore. We don't have a freshman team. And for lack of a better word, it sucks, you know. Like, I want to have a freshman team because now I got freshmen playing JV, and, you know, they're not ready to play JV, you know, and maybe they're not better than the sophomore guys. So now they're playing JV and they're working hard, but they don't get a lot of playing time because they're not, you know, physically ready for it, and they don't get that chance to develop and get better by playing because there's no freshman team. And unfortunately, like right now, I think we have 15 sophomores on JV, and I think we have around 30 freshmen. So we have enough for a freshman team, but we wouldn't be able to have fielded a JV team if we did that. So, you know, in some teams, they're able to have three solid teams, and they have plenty of guys. So it's just kind of it's the world we're living in right now. I'm hoping participation starts to pick back up. You know, since COVID, it dropped off, but it's gotten steadier each year since then. So I'm hoping it can get back to where it was and get back to, you know, us having three teams.
Talking with Central coach Kyle Biggs, you're on campus. You're an off-campus coach. You talk to kids. You know, what might be a reason why kids just stop playing football or don't want to play football? What are you hearing from maybe even other coaches as well, or talking to kids on campus?
Well, football's hard. It's not easy, you know. It's not a – you know, you don't get to get 11 guys at the park and go play tackle football. You know, you just don't see that. And whereas for basketball and baseball, it's a lot easier. You know, you can play games. You have AAU, you have summer league, you have fall league. Like, we have 7-on-7 in the summer, and then we have practice and more practice and more practice and conditioning and weightlifting. And, you know, it's a grind. And either you want the grind and you're for the grind, or, you know, it's just like, yeah, I'd rather go play video games or go hang out with my friends, and I don't have the desire to do this. So it just, you know, depends on the kid and the situation with what they're living with.
7-on-7. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Are there more positives or negatives to 7-on-7?
You know, 7-on-7, it's good for timing. It's good for your quarterbacks. It's good. But, man, these teams just run empty. And, you know, some teams we play in 7-on-7, they just stay in the middle of the field. They don't even go hash mark to hash mark. So 7-on-7 is getting a bit, you know, out there. It has its purposes, but, you know, some people are playing 7-on-7 as if, you know, those games, those championships matter. And, you know, we're just trying to get better. And we're just using it as a tool to get better, to come together as a team, compete. You know, handle adversity, make a mistake. How do you handle that mistake? Are you pouting about it, or are you moving to the next play?
I always find it interesting that high school kids come away from 7-on-7 deals with D1 offers, right? Like, do you think that is a good evaluation, you know, for a college coach to say, hey, we're going to offer you a scholarship, right? I mean, how true of a test it is how well they can do on 11-on-11 in a real football game Friday nights?
You know, nothing compares to doing, you know, in front of a coach in 11-on-11. But 7-on-7, you know, they see those athletes out there and they see what they're doing. And, you know, I can see why a wide receiver could get offered, because that's their forte. That's what they're doing. They're running routes. They're catching balls. They're making people miss. But there's nothing compared to the 11-on-11, because you got to see what they're doing. Even receivers, you got to see them block. You got to see them, you know, run their routes when they're not getting the ball, and what they're doing when they're not getting the ball, what kind of teammate they are, you know, all those little integral parts that make you who you are and make the great players who they are.
No, absolutely, and it's one of the things that I love sitting next to Coach Pat Hill a lot during broadcasts. Is he'll point out the little things that, you know, because he's able to analyze the game, but he's also looking at body language and looking out, you know, for, you know, are they encouraging their teammates? You know, he's looking at all those things. So, yeah, all those things are definitely factors in what college coaches look for in a player. I want to ask you, Coach Kyle Biggs, about, as the offensive coordinator – How do you look at a game? How do you sculpt a game, so to speak? You know, are you thinking three plays ahead? Are you looking at their defense and seeing a little chink in their armor? Like, how does your mind work during a football game?
You know, that's a funny question because we script out, you know, our first 10, 12 plays. And, like, last night, they came out in something they didn't show on film or we didn't expect them to. So, you know, by play two, we're off the script. And we're shooting from the hip, and you know it's a game to game thing. You know, is everything working? Are they lining up the way we thought they were going to line up? You know, in previous years, teams would come out and whatever we saw on film, we did not see in our game. So we kind of had to figure it out on the fly, and then find the way to get our guys the ball in space and let them make plays. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Is that how your mind works? Like, you enjoy trying to fit certain pieces of a puzzle together? Is that
it's a chess match.
Yeah.
You know, it's we're going to do this. Okay, are they gonna respond? Are they going to counter us? And if they counter us, what are we going to do? Because we can't just keep doing the same thing over and over hoping they don't adjust, because the good teams always adjust. And then you have to have an adjustment to that adjustment. And you got to figure it out, you know. And your players have to know what those adjustments are. They can't just, wait, what is he talking about? I don't remember doing it. And then it's got to be a part of your system and a part of your, you know, your program.
Have you ever made up a play on the fly, like, we're going to call it this, and, you know, you run this route, like something they've never run before?
Yes, we've done that a few times. And then sometimes we just say, hey, man, chuck it. You know, our guy's faster than our guy. Just chuck it. Let him go make a play. You know, just throw it up.
What's been your favorite play call in the history of your play calling career? I know. Let's go. I mean, it's got to be something in the state championship, right? Something that just, hey, we're primed for this play. You're in the middle of calling it like, this thing's going to work, and then boom.
You know, there's always those plays when you have certain calls and you're like, oh, come on, give me the, I hope they line up the way I think they're going to line up. And, you know, you tense up a little bit and you get relieved when you see it. But I would have to say, man, that's a really tough question. And honestly, the first one that comes to my mind was actually when I was an OC at Bullard and we were playing Edison when they had Kyrie McGee and we had no business being in the game. And, I just told our guy, hey, motion across. The tight end usually stays in. And I go, you know what? If they motion across, Jamar, I'm just going to be screaming like a madman. And if I start screaming, you run a vertical up the sideline. Nico, if you hear me screaming, throw the vert to Jamar up the sideline. And they did it, and it worked for a touchdown on 4th and 7. So that.
And you were probably screaming like a madman when you scored, right, as
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
I want to talk about a few players that you've coached in the past and their success, you know, now at the Division I level and beyond. Let's start with Trent, right? I've known the family for a long time, and then I heard, you know, Trent Tompkins, he's going to be the dude, you know, at Central, at quarterback. What are some memories about the record-setting quarterback Trent Tompkins?
So the story we tell with Trent is his sophomore year, he was the goody-two-shoe kid, man. Hey, coach, is that the right read? Did I make the right read? Is that the right throw? Did I call the right play? Was that good? Coach, good. Is it good? It's like, yeah, Trent, you're good. Get away from me. Stop talking to me. And his junior year, you know, coach, come on, coach. I'm going to get it on Friday. You know I'm going to get it on Friday, coach. And then his senior year was more like, hey, guys, you want to see me drive Coach Biggs crazy? Watch this. And that's kind of the matriculation of Trent, you know. And he was just always a gamer, always fun to coach. He called me this morning, wanted me to give him a breakdown of the game. And I'm super excited for him, what he's doing at Davis. And I love the kid to death, love the family. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's quite a character. And I could totally envision all three of those scenarios.
So his first game, we lost to Bullard, and he's on the sideline in McLean just crying. And my daughter walks up to him, and she's, I don't know, 4 years old, 3 years old, and she taps him on the head, and she's like, what's wrong with him?
He's just Trent.
So Trent got kind of wide-eyed, and you know, he struggled that first game, and we had to make a decision. Do we leave him in, or do we pull him? What do we do? And we were just like, you know what, we're going to leave him in and let him figure this thing out. And then the next week when we played Sunnyside, we're like, all right, man, we gotta play better. And he came out and threw 5 touchdowns, and it was like, all right, he's our guy.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy, did you see seeds in that guy at Central that he would have the success that he's had at? I think he's preseason All-American in a couple different publications at University of Texas.
Yeah, you know, X is fast, and that's what everyone says, he's fast. But what they don't see is his work ethic. His his dedication to the craft, and he wants to be a good receiver. He wants to run good routes. He wants to block. He wants to do all those little things. And having him and Jeremiah together, with Jeremiah being one of the hardest workers I've ever seen, you know, they kind of tested each other. And, you know, if Jeremiah was getting extra work, Xavier would want that extra work. And then if Jeremiah made a great play, Xavier wanted to make a great play. If Jeremiah made a great block, Xavier wanted to make a great block. And just, you know, they thrived off of that. And so seeing what he's doing at Texas, is that a surprise? Not one bit. Kid's a stud.
Was he – did I see that right? He was able to help with the pregame meal?
You know, he's an amazing kid, man. He actually donated a large amount of money to our Vertical Rise fundraiser also. He bought a pregame meal for us. Our guys, you know, Jalen helps out, Jeremiah. They all contribute in whatever way they can to help our team out. They're always coming back during the off season. So our young guys get to see this, and they get to see them. And, you know, them coming back is more important than anything else they do for us. But we love and appreciate anything they send our way.
Yeah, that's amazing. When players know where they come from and they represent whatever school, Central or whatever school there is in the Central section, that's – it means a lot. That means a lot to New CUNY, so that's very good to hear. All right, Jalen Johnson, you got I think you've told a Jalen Johnson story on the show before, but, you know, just talk about what, you know, when you watch him in the NFL, you're like, yeah, that's Jalen. He's just doing what Jalen does, right?
That he does, man. He's just such a hard-working, smart, athletically talented kid. He studies his craft. He does all the little things that, you know, you're supposed to do. He's staying healthy. And, I mean, he was just a joy to coach. I only got to coach him his senior year. Yeah. But just, you know, and he got hurt in the summer, and he's like, Coach, I'm going to play 5 games, and I'm going to have shoulder surgery, and then I'm going to go to Utah, and I'm going to start as a freshman. And I was like, all right, 5 games? All right, let's do it. You know, whatever we can do, let's do it. And he played 9, you know, and he was going to keep playing, but in that 9th game, I think it was versus Clovis West, he popped it. He popped his shoulder, and he's like, I can't. I got to have surgery, so – you know, I respected him, and, you know, the Utah coach was like, hey, what's up with this? And I'm like, no, this was agreed upon beforehand, and he was going to play 5, and he played 9. So he went above and beyond what he was. He would have stuck it out for the whole year. He wasn't going to quit on his guys. And, you know, the thing with Jalen is he was always the hardest worker, the smartest guy, new routes, and just the work he puts in, and even his brother Champ coming back and working our kids out and just being around the program. I mean, I can't say enough good things about the Johnson family, both Champ and Jalen. They're both great kids, fantastic young men.
Talking with Coach Kyle Biggs, we've got a couple minutes here. I know I haven't asked you this on air before, but have you ever had the chance, or would you ever consider taking the jump to coaching college? You love high school kids. Again, you know, I mentioned you're Central Valley through and through, but I'm sure college has been, you know, you've at least entertained some thoughts.
You know, I've had a few colleges reach out, and, you know, that weren't from this area, some smaller colleges, and my wife's like, you can go, I'm staying, just send me a check. I'm like, okay, I'm not. And so, I mean, it's just got to be the right situation. Yeah. We have young kids. I don't want to be moving them all around. I don't want them going, you know, different high schools. And I just – so it's just got – the situation has to fit what we are as a family, because it's family first.
And tonight's a pretty special night, isn't it? You're being inducted into the Clovis Football Hall of Fame. You know, obviously you're wearing the Central gear. You're doing a fantastic job at Central. But Clovis High holds some special memories for you as a player and your dad and, I mean, your whole family, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I mean, we were there a long time, man. I was a ball boy there ever since I was in sixth grade. So from sixth grade probably to, like, you know, that was, I think, 1991, 1990. All the way until 2004, 2005, 2006, something like that. So, yeah, a lot of memories, a lot of great memories. You know, still get the tingle when we walk into La Monica. It's weird being on the visitor's sideline. But, yeah, a lot of great memories, a lot of great teammates, great coaches. You know, learned a lot from Coach Simons and what he did and how he molded and what he did around his program and tried to take that blueprint and mold it to – you know, craft it to where it can work for us and what we're doing at Central, and it's a big piece of our puzzle.
Are you an emotional guy? You going to get emotional tonight, or is it just going to be like, hey, this is a lot of fun meeting and talking to some dudes?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I got to be honest. I didn't think, you know, I was going to get put in because of, you know, where I'm at. Some people hold vendettas, and, And, you know, I just didn't think it would happen. And I'm glad it did. I'm excited. I'm really excited when they put our Valley Championship 1997 football team in there. I think that team deserves it. You know, we were the Road Warriors, you know, 7-6-4 going in and come out champions. I think that, you know, it's hard to talk about me as an individual because football is always a team thing. And, you know, it's cool, and I try not to bring it up, and I try not to – you know, I was telling my team last week I have something Saturday night, and they're like, oh, you know what? And I go, oh, it's just something. And then one of my assistant coaches like, nah, it's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, they got me a cake this week at our team meal, and they did some nice things for me. So it's touching. So I think when I get there, you know, seeing all the old coaches and you know, former teammates and stuff, it might get a little choked up. Hopefully I can stay strong when I get on stage.
Well, it's you definitely deserve it, Coach. And, you know, you're in your heart, I'm sure you're a Cougar forever, but you've done an amazing job at Central, and I always appreciate you coming on, talking football, and so enjoy tonight. You definitely deserve it.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Anytime. All right, we'll take a little small commercial. We'll come back and wrap everything up on 1430 ESPN. Great show today. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, Matt Logue of Sanger, Jackson Sinfeld, McKay Madsen from Clovis North, Kyle Vicks from Central. Have a good week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.
The Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.